You are listening to Sparking Wholeness with Erin Carey, where we talk about all things related to nutrition for mind, body, and soul. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, everybody, it's Erin Carey. Welcome back to Sparking Wholeness. Today, I am so excited to introduce you to Gloria Kolb. She is the CEO and co-founder of Elatone, the first non-invasive, FDA-cleared wearable treatment for women with urinary incontinence. Elatone's accolades include winning Best New Product by My Face, My Body Slingshot 2020, finalist in Women's Startup Challenge, and many startup pitch competitions. As an inventor with 30-plus patents, Gloria has been featured in Forbes as a top scientist driving innovation in women's health. Her creative designs and problem-solving abilities have earned her recognition, such as Boston's 40 Under 40 and MIT Review's World's Top Innovators Under 35. She has engineering degrees from MIT and Stanford and an entrepreneurship MBA from Babson College. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm excited to have this conversation today, and I love hearing about everything that you've done. I just think, of course, as a woman, I want to recognize women who are doing really cool things with science and, you know, as a teacher, former teacher, with STEM and in that world. I think that's important. I think it's really important to be doing things for women's health, because for so long, we were kind of not looked at, not studied. And so what you're doing is really cool to me.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I feel like finally, women's health has become a little bit more in the spotlight, and it's gotten some recognition. So it's great to see that.
Yeah. So let's talk about Elatone and how you even came up with this, what it is. Let's just start with what it is and how it helps women.
Sure. So Elatone is I would describe it as a pelvic floor exerciser that does Kegel exercises for you, but longer and stronger than you could on your own. Now, it started, 10, 15 years ago. I had a 9.5-pound baby girl and then 13 pounds of twins. And, you know, it does a number on your pelvic floor. And so I started to leak when I would go running or when I would sneeze or cough. And I realized that I would stop doing, it was starting to affect my quality of life, and that I stopped running around with my boys. I didn't want to play soccer with them when they wanted to play. And so I realized that I needed to get help. You know, we could talk more about that, but yeah, that led to a whole bunch of series events.
Yeah, because there are definitely different pelvic floor therapies I know that exist out there, especially postpartum and that whole period, things like that. But this is actually a device. So you're saying this is something that helps you to strengthen pelvic floor without having to do it yourself.
Yes, yes. For one, like myself, a quarter of women do not do them correctly, these exercises. Mm. A lot of them, actually, no one ever told me that I even needed to do them. Not even my doctors. And then I realized that, you know, a quarter of women don't do them correctly. And then the rest, it's just really hard to do sufficiently. The doctors tell you, oh, you know, do them 3 times a day, every day. You're like, what? How am I going to fit that in?
Mm-hmm. So. Well, yeah. And it's like, I mean, for anybody who has had a child and it's been a vaginal delivery, it's like pushing, right? Like nobody really tells you, well, how do you push a baby out? I think it's probably similar to that, right? Because it's not like something that people say it to us, but we don't really know. Well, what does that even mean?
You can't see those muscles. Right. You know, it's a weird feeling. And it's really hard to be. Well, I shouldn't say it's really hard, but it's hard to be taught, you know, how to do them correctly. So, you can go to pelvic floor physical therapy, and I did go, but it's quite invasive. Mm. To keep doing those exercises.
Yeah.
So it is interesting because even when we started to do our clinical studies, I was so surprised that women on average were finally seeking treatment when they joined our study after being incontinent for 11 years. And
Oh
so
my
it's just
gosh.
a long time to suffer in silence, to not do anything, to just be quiet about it. Two-thirds of women don't talk to their doctor about it. The word incontinence itself just has such a bad stigma that even after I, started the business, people would say, "Oh, no, I don't have incontinence." But then when you ask if they had some bladder leakage, they're like, "Oh yeah, doesn't everyone?"
Right.
So
Yeah.
it's interesting.
It is interesting, and it is something I think that people carry a bit of shame with them about. And it's, I mean, for me, after having, it was my third child that I remember I started doing, I was getting back to working out, started doing either jumping jacks or jump rope, one of those types of things. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's different. That has not quite healed yet, you know. And this was after I've been given the clear to work out and everything. But it pelvic floor is a big issue for a lot of women, and even for women who don't have children. I think it's something that impacts us as we age and get into menopause. So maybe we could talk a little bit about that. And I think that there's a growing awareness about it. Menopause is kind of having a moment, but I think it, yeah, let's talk about that.
So in general, perimenopause, menopause, all your muscles start to get weaker. Actually, it starts to get weaker since you're in your 30s, but that's when it becomes fairly pronounced. Your lining in your vagina gets thinner. People have more urinary tract infections because then their urethral sphincter isn't tight, anymore. It just kind of leads to a lot of pelvic issues.
Yeah, that drop in estrogen for so many women, it causes the increase in the bacteria that promotes UTIs. And then also, like you said, that lack of muscle tone, that doesn't just apply to our biceps, right? Like this has to do with all of our muscles, including our pelvic floor. So what would you say is, why is pelvic floor health important, and how does it affect our daily life throughout a lifespan as a female?
So the pelvic floor muscles support, your uterus, your bladder, your rectum. It supports everything, and yet it's ignored often. It's basically like a hammock with a crisscrossing muscles, and when you don't see it, you don't exercise it. When you don't exercise it, it atrophies, and then that, yeah. Leads to a whole host of issues. And some of the more severe issues is something like prolapse, where the organs actually start to fall out. And there are some women that, a stage two is basically when it's at the opening and it actually can fall out of the opening, which is crazy. No one would talk about that, but it's actually common too.
It is really common. And I, again, it comes with shame and stigma. And I think about how many clients I've sat down with where we've talked about these issues, and it's not something they would probably ever bring up in the day-to-day conversation because it feels weird. Because, like you said, it, like prolapse, you're talking about things that are on the inside starting to come out on the outside, right? And that feels scary and kind of like, ooh, gross. Nobody wants to hear about that. But when you talk about how common it is, I think it kind of can help to break that shame and stigma.
I think a lot of these issues also make women feel old, and
Ah, that's good. Yeah.
they don't want to feel old, so they're just not going to bring it up.
Yeah, totally. Especially if it's somebody who, 20s, 30s, and we're saying, oh, well, this is a menopause thing. This is a post-menopause thing. And then it's like, wait, but I'm struggling with this. So what's wrong with me? Am I broken? It brings up a lot of questions for people.
Definitely menopause makes it worse, but incontinence is, we have users that are teenagers, all the way to 100 years old. So
Yeah.
the athletes, with all the pounding of almost every step, you have, the weight above trying to be supported by the pelvic floor. So we have women definitely in their 20s, right after childbirth, all the way on up.
Wow, that's really cool. So, what are these simple exercises that help to improve the pelvic floor issues of incontinence. What are the exercises that help for that?
So they're called Kegel exercises or pelvic floor exercises, and it's really just tightening those muscles, and that strengthens it. It is kind of a, instead of the pushing, to go to the bathroom, it's a pulling inward.
Okay.
So it's kind of the opposite. And but it can be hard to do and learn. So there are tools out there that can help you. There are vaginal trainers where it gives you some biofeedback in terms of often you connect them to your mobile app and then you can just see, oh, I'm squeezing it the right way. Or, and it can show you your progression of your strength as you squeeze more and more. And then there's stimulation devices. So electrical, it sounds scary to say electrical stimulation, but that's really how your brain talks to any of your muscles. It's sending these electrical currents. So that has been around for 50 years old, 50 years, where it sends these stimulation to tell the muscles down there to contract. Now, the issue that I was having was all these devices, the vaginal trainers and the vaginal stimulation, they're all vaginal, right? So it's a big device that you have to insert, which means you have to lock yourself in the bedroom for 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes, be flat on your back, and no busy mom has time for that, nor the privacy to do that every day. So what, how Eliton is different is that it's completely external, and you, it's thin, a tiny controller about the size of a matchbox sends stimulation to a very thin, almost like maybe as thin as three pieces of paper that is flexible, and you place on your perineal area, right at your pubic bone to your anus, and it sends that stimulation. But the best thing is you can get dressed, you can walk around the house, you can do what you need to do. It doesn't take up your time, and most women just forget that they have it on.
Oh wow, that's so cool. Okay, see, and what appealed to me is that you said non-invasive. I think being a female can be very invasive when we think about all the procedures that involve, like the well woman's checkup and all the things that we go through. And so you're saying this doesn't have to be inserted inside anything.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, which
It's
for
just
some
placed where a pad is.
Yeah, so for somebody out there who's like, okay, this sounds a lot better than maybe some of the other, like you said, the other devices that you've talked about are definitely better than surgery. I know sometimes that is necessary for sure, but this is a way to strengthen the pelvic floor without having to just have one more thing that, like you said, it's like you have to it takes time away from what you want to be doing. And yeah, so you can wear this and go about doing other things.
And it's only a 20-minute treatment. So 20 minutes, most people do it while they're doing something else that's a habit, such as like, oh, while they're walking the dog, or while they're putting, their makeup on in the morning or something like that. And then we recommend, almost every day for about 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, and then once you're stronger, then you don't need it every day. Then you could just go down in usage.
That's cool. Yeah. So you're saying, so it's because nobody's going to be able to do Kegels while they're walking the dog, but you're saying this is like a Kegel exercise while you're walking?
I mean, while you're doing anything, it's doing the contractions for you.
Okay. That's multitasking. That's definitely, yeah. No, that's awesome because it truly, I do think, like, I remember, gosh, I would have been. I was watching some talk show. It was the era of the talk shows when I was a teenager, right? And like some woman's like, yeah, women, you really need to be doing your Kegel exercises, stay strong. And I was 16. I'm like, what? What is that even? Like, I remember hearing that too. And to your point, what you said early on, it's like most women are like, okay, so this is something I'm supposed to do, but I don't know how to do it. And I don't even know if it's working, how I'm doing it. And again, we hear that after, before, especially before we have babies, right? To strengthen everything before and then after. But this is a way to do it without having to figure it out on your own.
And you want it, I mean, you want to make sure that those muscles are strong too, even as preventative measures. So some women may say, oh, I don't have any bladder leakage, but I see my mom or my grandma go through pads and then diapers. And then it's actually the number one reason for entry into nursing homes
Oh, wow.
because it is, it just takes over your life. We have talked to women who they don't leave the house anymore because they always have to be near the bathroom. They don't travel anymore. They don't like it. It really starts to disrupt your life.
Wow.
And especially if they stop exercising, because exercising is so important for all your health, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's what I was gonna kind of get into, which we were touching on the same thing at the same time, is does this seem to affect certain women more than others? Like, is it, you mentioned athletes struggle with this, so it's not just sedentary women who aren't exercising and who aren't working their core. So what have you noticed?
So it is one out of three women over the age of 30 and one out of two women over the age of 50. So that's those numbers are staggering.
Yeah.
It goes across all demographics, all income levels. So it really affects most women. There's some genetics in there in terms of like if your parents or your mom's had incontinence, likely you might too, has something to do with like a short urethra. But heavier weight women also have more incontinence because when you think of all the weight that those pelvic muscles need to support, then yeah.
And what about women who have had vaginal childbirth versus those who haven't? Does that impact
Oh,
things too?
yes. Good point. That is probably one of the bigger factors,
Okay.
vaginal childbirth. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But still, one in two over 50, that's 50%, right? When
Yeah.
that's kind of a big deal. Like I don't think that, and that's why I wanted to talk about this, because I'm really truly clueless on the topic. Like we've covered so many health things on the podcast, but this is not really one we've dug into. But I know it affects a lot of women. And again, I do want to kind of break that stigma of if this is affecting you and you're really embarrassed about this, hey, if you're over 30, you're one out of three. Like that's huge. And
Yeah.
if you're over 50 dealing with this, chances are, in a room full of 50 women, 25 others are dealing with this too. And I think that's important to hear.
Yeah, definitely. I know that as you get older, some of the incontinence starts to become more overactive bladder, which is actually when the nerves surrounding the bladder muscle starts to attack, and then you feel like you need to go to the bathroom all the time. Those are the people who are like tethered to the bathroom, and they really can't go very far because they need to be near the bathrooms all the time. But our device is the only one that actually sends out both signals, so to strengthen the muscle as well as to calm some of that overactive bladder down. And then we have an identical device that's called Elatone Urge that is only for overactive bladder.
Oh, cool. Okay. So you have more than one types of
Yeah.
Elatone devices.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when you think of what are the other options, right? So the surgery that you mentioned for it's called stress incontinence when you have weak muscles, that is pelvic mesh surgery. And if anyone has heard that in the news, 100,000 lawsuits, it's been banned in most countries, although it's still available in the US, banned for prolapse. And then for the overactive bladder, really your only options are medication, which has horrible, horrible side effects. It's been on a list of kind of, it's called the Beer's list of really bad for you in terms of cognitive function.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good to know. So addressing this now, what are some other long-term complications that this will help to improve if getting started with something like this at a younger age or before it gets worse, I should say.
Yeah, so I mean, it's strengthening those pelvic floor muscles. We talked about urinary incontinence, fecal incontinence. Is also
That's a
it
big
probably even
deal.
more taboo. It's not as prevalent, but that's an issue too. So it could help that. The UTIs that we talked about, and then a lot of women as they age, they just notice that everything's just looser down there, looser, saggier. And they just want everything to tighten up for, sexual function
I
as
was going to
well.
say for sexual function, right? Like, I mean, I think that that is something that, again, because menopause is having a moment, we're starting to draw more attention to, but there is such a thing as atrophy in a lot of areas. I know listeners, if you have kids in the car, this is, and you're listening in the car, this is a, surely you've not, you've turned it off by now. But I do think something I heard about recently was clitoral atrophy, if I'm saying that right. And just in general, everything down there can atrophy when we go through menopause. And I mean, I think that's important to talk about. I was talking about it to one of my friends. She's like, only you would mention that that's a thing. And I'm like, yeah, but we've got to draw awareness to this because for a long time, nobody was talking about it. And I'm sure women have been suffering for a very, for a very long time. And so, yeah, so I think all everything down there needs to be strengthened because we're just because we go through menopause doesn't mean we're done living. It doesn't mean we're done enjoying our sex lives with our husbands or partner, whatever it is, right? Like we want to live long, flourishing lives without having to worry about our insides falling out on the outside or wearing diapers all the time, right?
And I feel that so many women just feel hopeless. Like they're like, oh, well, it's just a normal part of aging. And you're like, no, it doesn't have to be a normal part of aging. There, you can do other things. And I do think that I don't have any data on this, but I do think that's why people don't talk to their doctor about it. Not only the embarrassment, but they just fear, oh, the doctor's just going to recommend the surgery, and they don't want the surgery or something like that.
So this could be because at first, and this is how my brain has just been unraveling this whole conversation again, going in kind of blind, not knowing much about this at all. But I love to learn. So this could be an alternative to the surgery. This really can strengthen things to where someone wouldn't need to have surgery.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The World Health Organization at one point said this is the only major, major condition that is actually completely reversible. But, of course, there is a point if you neglect your pelvic floor for so long that you can't go all the way back, because not only is it muscle, but there's ligaments, and if the ligaments stretch too much, you may not be able to get all the way back.
Okay, yeah,
So,
that's good to know. But hopefully catching it early on and getting that support can be
oh, I
helpful.
am such an advocate for women getting treated earlier rather than later. I know so many women are thinking, oh, I'm not bad yet. I only wear one pad a day, but still, just get treated earlier rather than later. So then it's easier and you can prevent, the bad things.
Yeah, for sure. This is so fascinating. Okay, so how do people get started with Elatone and how do they, I mean, what is the cost like and what is it like to get this and use this and make this part of your routine?
So you could go to our website, elatone.com. That's ELITONE.com. And then there's quizzes where it can help you guide you if you don't know which one you should get. If you have the stress incontinence, which is the weak muscles, or overactive bladder. And then we send it discreetly to your home. It's $400. So it's an investment, but there was an NIH study that showed that women are spending on average like $750 a year on just
Oh, I
pads
believe
maintenance,
it.
laundry. So this is an investment, and it'll save you money.
Well, I believe it. I mean, therapy is expensive, and so pelvic floor therapy is expensive, and so is surgery. Surgery is expensive. And like you said, it might create more harm than good. What are some of the side effects of the surgeries that have been an issue for, because I know I have seen the lawsuits. I actually know somebody that was involved in one of the lawsuits. And so from the legal side of things. And so I've been aware of that, but yeah, what are the issues?
Well, some of the issues are it doesn't work for everyone, so they go through all the surgery. I mean, it's real surgery, and then it doesn't solve the issues. The other thing is, and this may be just the older materials, but it would start to be brittle in your body and then break into tiny fragments, and then the mesh removal surgery would be like 10 times worse, because now they
Oh.
have to work take out all the fragments. And so, yeah, a lot of women are in pain from failed mesh surgeries or
Yeah.
so
I can
yeah,
only
and
imagine
that
how many, what that would cause from a side effect type of issue if it's breaking up into pieces.
yeah. And so we talk about like you want to go from non-invasive to least invasive in that order, right? So
Yeah.
yes, definitely start with Kegels. If you can learn to do Kegels, great, then you don't even need our device. But if not, the Ellitone device can help you. But even if the Ellitone doesn't work for you, it's conservative, right? So it doesn't stop you from doing anything later. Whereas if you go to surgery first and it doesn't work, you can't necessarily go back to some of the
Huh.
earlier stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a really good perspective. And I'm always going to be, because surgeries are, yes, expensive. It's causing intentional trauma to the body. And I know it's sometimes necessary, but I'm always going to be a lot more conservative on the side of let's see what we can do first before causing something big to
Right.
happen internally to your body, right? So
Right.
I think that's amazing. Okay, so little off topic here. I'd love to know what other things are you doing patent wise? Like it mentioned in your bio, 30 plus patents. So what are things that you're involved in? What are you loving to investigate right now?
Oh, well, I can't say I have a lot of free time outside of the Ellitone, but we do have like 10 patents on this. And then in my previous life, I was in the urology space. So I
Oh, wow.
had like urethral stents for kidney stone removal. And then previous to that was orthopedic patents for like hip implants and other things like that.
That's awesome. I love that. I just, again, as a female, I love seeing other women just stepping up and making improvements for the rest of us because this is important. This is what you're doing is
It
important.
is. It is. And I do think that sometimes it takes women to find the right solution for women because I've had, as an entrepreneur, pitched to so many investors and lots of times just rooms full of investors, and they would say, "What's wrong with vaginal devices? Women have no problem putting these vaginal devices in." And I'm
Gosh.
like, oh man, really?
Yeah.
They just don't understand.
No, no.
Not to mention cultures. Like, there's a lot of cultures that they won't even try any vaginal device.
That's so
Like,
true.
parts of the world where they don't even use tampons.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's a really good point. I don't know if a lot of people here in the United States understand that, but that absolutely is a cultural thing for many other people. So I'm so glad that you brought that up because, yeah, because here it's just like, oh, yeah, you go to the doctor, you go to the gynecologist, you get your well woman done, you get the, have to spread your legs, and it's just like part of being a woman. But like, does it really have to be part? Does everything have to be invasive? And so you're offering us something where we can kind of keep our dignity in a little way,
Yes.
right? So
Yes.
yeah.
And sorry, I'm thinking of end of life, or but we've that is part of the nursing home issues. They don't want relatives who are taking care of them to have to change their diapers,
That's
that
so
dignity.
true. That's so
So they
true.
would rather go to a nursing home, have a stranger do it than have a family member do it. We've had end of life people say, "I would rather just die than have other people have to change my diaper or change me down there." So
Yeah, no, that's a very valid concern. And so thinking about if you are starting to struggle, if you're noticing any of these issues, this is such a huge step in the right direction. You said so on your website, there is a quiz where women can kind of find out what would be right for them if they're going, oh, wait a minute, maybe this is something that I need.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I wanted to touch a little bit on the cost. You can also pay by HSA and FSA.
Oh, nice.
So that's nice. And then there is some insurance coverage. It's definitely covered for Medicare, 22 states and Medicaid, but a lot of private insurance will cover it too.
Cool. No, that's awesome. So as far as if somebody's listening to this and going, well, maybe this isn't me, what are some, do you have like a list of symptoms, things to look out for to where you're like, yes, definitely go on the website, take the quiz, because this probably could be you.
Typically the main questions that gets asked, even in the medical setting, would be, do you leak when you sneeze, you cough, you exercise? And those
Jump
are
rope.
the main indicators, yes.
Or a trampoline. I still remember, gosh, I was probably in high school and I remember my mom going, "Can't get on the trampoline with you guys." And she had the twins. She had me, and then less than 2 years later, she had my brother, or just a little over 2 years later, she had my brother and sister twins, vaginal births, all of
Okay.
them. And I just remember her going, "Cannot get on that trampoline." And we're like, "Oh, it's nothing.
Oh,
A mom's gonna pee." Like, we're laughing because we're kids and we don't know, right? But that is, it's such a thing, and it's not something to be ashamed of. It's just your body doing what your body does. It adjusted for a little while, and maybe it's having a difficult time adjusting back. And so something like Elatone would be very helpful. So yeah. So cough, sneezing, jumping, working out, trampoline, playing with your kids. Absolutely. If it's getting in the way of playing with your kids and doing fun things with them, this is worth it.
Especially when it starts really interferes with doing the things you love. Oh, I mean, it's such a joy to get those emails when we hear of success stories of, oh, I'm able to ride my bike again, or I'm able to, do whatever XYZ. And we're like, yes, that's our whole goal, is to get women and men to be active, to be their normal self, and to live a full life.
Wait, you said men. Does this work for men too?
So the gel pads are designed for women. We're coming out with a male one later this
Okay.
year, and it's because it's the number one issue after prostatectomy.
Yes, absolutely. That's a big deal. That's super common for men. I mean, just like we're talking about how common it is for women, like that's something that's a big concern for men as well. So that's awesome.
And as men age, they have urgency and overactive bladder as well.
For sure. Definitely. Well, thank you. This has been so much fun. I truly appreciate you just letting me pick your brain and just kind of coming in blind on the topic. But I was so fascinated to hear about this product. And again, for me, it's that non-invasive phrase that I'm like, all right, anything that can be less invasive for a female is something that I want to get on board with and talk about and draw awareness to.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
So again, go to elatone.com, take the quiz, find out if you qualify or which type you need, any of that. And so, yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you again.
Well, thank you so much, Erin.
The tiniest spark leads to the biggest blaze, and I hope that today's episode sparks you on a journey to healing and wholeness. Thanks for listening to Sparking Wholeness. For more information on what I do and my coaching programs, or maybe just to reach out and say hey, find me at sparkingwholeness.com or on Instagram at sparkingwholeness. Have a fabulous week.